Hey gang, Colin here. So quickly, before we get into today's podcast, which was a very fun conversation that we actually just hung up with Stephen Fishback, a couple of things that we should have brought up. First of all, spoiler alert, be caught up on the challenge through episode 10, which is the one that ends with the light board elimination. We talk through all of the stuff that, not all of it, but we talk openly about things that have happened to that point. And we actually ended up recording this on a Tuesday afternoon, so there will be another episode out, I would imagine, by the time most people are hearing this. But thankfully, I think most of this conversation will still be relevant and interesting. There's going to be plenty that I think is going to be evergreen, hopefully not just for this week, but for a long time to come, potentially. So that is the first thing. The second thing is we are having a March Madness Patreon giveaway. That's right. If you have filled out a bracket or if you're going to fill out a bracket, look up my Twitter at Colin Stone, where we will be giving away 3 free months on Patreon. For people unaware, Dom and I have been doing bonus episodes over at patreon.com/Dom and Colin, talking through lately Big Brother 10, but just more in general, we will be talking through all of many classic seasons of CBS reality and potentially other reality shows as well. And so the high scorer in this publicly open, totally free March Madness pool will get 3 free months on Patreon, and additionally, the highest scoring current patron, because we want to give them some incentive too, they will also get 3 months, as well as the highest scoring current patron will be receiving the actual hat that Dom and I spent so many seasons drawing names out of for preseason cast assessments. That all of that could be yours. Find my Twitter again at Colin Stone. I sent the tweet out about with the link to it on March 12th, and I realize that's a very self-absorbed way of giving people the link, but I don't know a better way of doing it. And I guess in the interest of equal time, Dom is on Twitter at DomHRV. I believe that is going to do it, so we can send it over to the podcast with Steven, and in the very famous now words of Devin... Okay, so here we are, excited to talk more about the latest season of The Challenge Vendettas, and joining us, our great friend of the show, Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Guys, it's so great to be here talking to you about what I think is probably my favorite reality TV show, The Challenge.
Interesting, because of course people know you from appearing on Survivor and blogging and podcasting about Survivor, but I've known, just from following you on Twitter, of course, at Stephen Fishback, for years you've been tweeting about The Challenge. How far back does that fandom go of this show? And I know you used to work at MTV. Was that tied in? Were you ever involved in The Challenge in any capacity?
Well, so I should specify that I probably do love Survivor more than The Challenge. But when I watch Survivor, I have so many emotions, you know, just like it's like taken right back into the experience. And The Challenge is just pure, wonderful escapism. Shortly after I was on Survivor, my very good friend who actually recruited me and cast me on Survivor told me about The Challenge. And I was like, come on, that ancient reality standby is still in operation, you know, basically the same feelings I had had about Survivor itself. And she said, start the show with fresh meat and go from there. You know, there's just like too much challenge to get caught up on. But if you start with fresh meat, they introduce a lot of the big new characters and then watch subsequently. And I did. And it was amazing. And it's what's so incredible at The Challenge, which, of course, everyone who knows loves about it, is that you just have this evolving history, these rivalries that at this point, like last literally decades, you know, between Wes and Johnny Bananas. And it's got that, you know, at the same time as they bring in new blood, they also have these like this sense of enduring hatred. It's great.
How do you feel about that from like a game perspective? For instance, like I think we'll talk a lot about Johnny Bananas over the course of this podcast, and just kind of the metagame that exists when you know certain people are basically going to be there every time, and what I do on this season is very likely going to impact how future seasons play out. As a fan of kind of game purity, where do you stand on that issue, or is that something that appeals to you about the show?
I've given up on game purity, Colin. Well, tell me, are you guys both Challenge fans? Are you long-term watchers?
So this is fun. I'll set Dom up for this because I've been a long-term fan of the challenge. I started watching, I think it was Fresh Meat 2 was the first time I started watching, and I missed maybe a couple seasons in there. Dom, I had never seen the challenge prior to about 5 days ago and has subsequently gotten caught up on this season. Dom, what's that been like for you?
Well, so that's not quite true. So my origin story here is that you were pressuring me over and over to watch a challenge. So a few years ago, I decided, okay, I'll give it a try. I put the call out on Twitter to ask, hypothetically, if I were to watch a season of the challenge, which one should I start with? And you, Stephen Fishback, replied saying, Fresh Meat, you have to watch Fresh Meat. So I watched Fresh Meat, and it was fine. It didn't kind of dazzle me. It didn't keep me glued to my screen. But I thought, okay, this is fair enough. But I just never really got back into it. But then this season, there was so much buzz around it, and we hosted multiple preseason drafts here on our show, and I thought I want to be in on the joke here. I want to be part of that conversation. So I caught up over the past few days, and I like what I've seen so far.
I don't even know how you understand what's happening. Like, can you actually follow along? I mean, I guess this season has a lot of new players.
It's tough, as you said. You can't really understand it without being a challenge super fan already. You need to know the context of these rivalries that go back years and years. And so coming into it with basically no frame of reference for who any of these people are, I know of Johnny Bananas through his reputation, and he, based on what I've seen so far, he's earned that pretty quickly. But then all the others is, I just take it at face value that they have some bit of rivalry based on some incident from season 24 or whatever. And that keeps getting referenced this season because it's built around this theme of vendettas. But when someone just turns up and I don't know who they are, and they say, oh, I'm targeting someone else who I don't know because they're my vendetta, I just go along with it. You know, there's no kind of critical analysis involved.
Right. And
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm very much the same way insofar as I watch the shows, but I am a filthy casual viewer of the challenge for the most part. I very seldom think about what happens between Wednesday at 10 or whatever. I watch it, digest it all in that moment, basically forget about the bulk of it by the time the next season is started, and just take it for granted when they tell me about whatever vendetta Marie has that's going on with whomever. Even though I did see that, I don't even have that clear of a memory of it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, their definition of a vendetta is extremely thin, you know, like people who like exchange like an angry glance, like, I've got a vendetta, like, they're clearly, you know, pushing this theme of vendettas in the way that all reality shows, I guess, now aggressively push their themes in order to stand out. I mean, I don't remember Fresh Meat itself, which was the season I recommended to you, is like such a great season necessarily. It was just the entryway. And I guess when I first watched it, you know, there were like seven seasons to catch up on, and now there's, you know, 37 seasons between then and now. But it is interesting, and it's been interesting to see people rotate in or rotate out. I guess when I first watched Fresh Meat, Evan and Kenny were bigger parts of the challenge. Of course, they've actually been banned from the challenge, as you guys know, from after having been accused of sexual assault.
I didn't know, but I'm not surprised. the kind of caliber of people the show attracts.
Well, it is interesting, like, how they used to show these sort of like unaired, unedited clips, and they were like incredibly uncomfortable to watch because basically it was just the men, you know, sexually harassing women and like encouraging to take their shirts off. And, you know, obviously the culture has changed, and so that's no longer part of the show and may not even be a part of the culture on the actual location, although, you know, it certainly seems like it also very well may be part of the culture and location. But it did not seem like it was so much of a stretch that like people might get so drunk and things might get out of control that something really terrible could happen.
So given all of that, when people come to you asking, how should I get into the challenge, do you almost feel some pressure to point them towards some of those classic seasons? Because anything that's more recent, so much of it is just going to be lost on them that they can't fully appreciate it.
Well, yeah, obviously, I suggested Fresh Meat for you. You know, honestly, like, my first season, I think, before Fresh Meat even, was the first Rivals season. And similarly to you, I was like, okay, like, I can figure out that these guys are rivals. And it was really fun to watch some of those big rivalries. I mean, I think my favorite reality TV moment of all time is when CT basically wears Johnny Bananas as a backpack.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it was just epic. And, you know, I mean, I know we're going to talk about Johnny, but, you know, really his story has been one of the big stories of the challenge, you know, for the past 10 years. I remember watching his first season. You know, he's the first one off of his first season. He's, you know, a skinny guy, you know, maybe not skinny like compared to me, but, you know, he's like a thin little guy. And, you know, over time, he like bulks up both physically and strategically into this dominant beast, you know, first just going deeper and deeper into the challenge, then ultimately starting to win, where it seemed like every single season he was winning the whole show, or certainly was in the finals. And then I think actually Rivals was his first victory. And now finally, maybe the worm has turned on that story, you know, for it seemed like he was an unstoppable force in the Challenge House. And now it really seems like maybe there is this new generation that is willing to vote him out. I mean, one thing I want to talk about, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, is not just how that sense of having multiple seasons where he's going to, you know, sorry. Not just the fact that he, you know, is going to be on every subsequent season, but also like the social element side.
Yeah. So I'm coming to this with much less both knowledge and experience of the show and of Johnny Bananas. But from the first episode I saw of this season, it was clear why he was there. Like, it's clear why he's the star of the show. And even before he was explicitly named on the screen, I could tell, okay, that's the Johnny Bananas that I've heard so much about, because he just has this screen presence. And you can tell the way he carries himself, even if he hadn't won so many seasons of the challenge in the past, he's someone who thinks he deserves to win every season of the challenge and is going to win every season of the challenge. And so when he ends up busting out here, as is becoming a theme apparently in these eliminations, whenever he ends up in them, you can tell that, like, not only is he disappointed and shocked, but like he seriously doesn't consider the possibility that that could happen to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think this is his worst finish in a very long time. Like, Steven, you mentioned that first season where he was skinny and he was just John long before the days of being Bananas. And I did go back actually and watch the duel one. But other than that, by the time I showed up to the challenge, essentially Bananas was what he's been for like the last 8 years, which is the established veteran who is a big front runner to potentially win the season. What happened? How did he evolve to that point? Were there players he learned from along the way, or how did he go from being you know, that relatively speaking scrawny guy on the duel into being essentially a professional athlete and TV personality just by taking this show by brute force, it seems?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a couple of things. And, you know, first, I mean, obviously there is just that physical element where he clearly put a tremendous amount of energy into transforming his body, you know, into something that could perform incredibly well on these challenges. But, you know, in those early years for Johnny, you know, he was in this ongoing alliance with Kenny and Evan. And it seemed that every season kind of devolved into this, you know, into that group doing what they could to manipulate the game. Now, at the time, there were also some of these more, you know, these older and more established players who were running things, right? Johnny was the new guy, and there were these older guys who eventually aged out of the challenge. And then there was sort of the counterfaction with Wes, but Wes never was able to really establish himself in the same way that Johnny, Evan, and Kenny were. And you know, then when Evan and Kenny are forbidden from being in the challenge anymore, Johnny is really the only person left as this sort of central power structure who you know, has the rare challenge ability of being able to count. You know, most of these guys are total drunk meatheads, and like having like a small modicum of strategic ability has basically made him, you know, this mastermind. And then I really think that a large part of his influence is self-perpetuating, where, you know, I think the best parallel is for Survivor viewers to Boston Rob. You know, when Boston Rob comes on Redemption Island, season 22, he is this established legendary figure in the Survivor community. And all of these like young kids who grew up watching him are tripping over themselves to ally with him. And like, how much more the case when, you know, Boston Rob, who at that point had been on three seasons, you know, Johnny's been on what, like 10, 15 seasons. And you know, probably even more than that. And so, you know, these new kids come into the Challenge House and they totally idolize him. And he seems like their ticket, not just into, you know, doing well in the challenge, but into this whole social universe that's outside the challenge. You know, I mean, I know from being a part of that survivor community that, like, that, you know, so much of your, like, status within the community, as embarrassing and sad as it is, like, does have to do with, like, how, you know, how well you did, how visible a character were you, how many seasons were you on. And, like, you know, Johnny basically is this combination of the most visible character, the most winning character, the most, you know, outgoing character, the most strategic character. So, you know, he just, like, sucks all the air out of the social circle there. And so, you know, naturally, nobody wants to go against him. And it's not, so I guess it's not just strategic, it's social.
Do you feel
I was going to say, it was interesting to see this season Johnny hold that threat over other people's heads of saying, like, if you screw me in this game, that's going to have repercussions of you in future seasons that we are on together. Because he knows that, like, with the level of status that he's attained, he's not just thinking about the game he's playing at the moment. He's thinking about the larger game of the challenge that he's going to be involved in, presumably for years to come, unless something dramatic happens to change that.
Yeah, and I think that's – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Colin.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I agree with all of that, and I was wondering, with that in mind, is it good for the show to have that one person in there who does stand out that much more – than I think the rest of the cast does, not just for the audience and for their chances of winning, but has that kind of influence within the game. Like, I would say, to go back to the Boston Rob comparison, I agree that that is a great parallel. But I also would say, like, Redemption Island should never have been aired. That's like a borderline unwatchable season of Survivor for me. And for a long stretch, it felt like Bananas was just having his way season after season. Like, he and his cousin would both go the entire time, never touching an elimination. Where was that something that you were into? Like, is that a fun dynamic for you, or do you feel like that it's been better now that that's been scaled back?
Yeah, I mean, of course I agree with you. You know, I found it very frustrating that every season was like, how is Johnny going to win this one? And that, like, nobody was making moves against him in, you know, for the most absurd reasons. You know, I also actually have not been a big Johnny Bananas fan, just because I some of his early seasons, I felt like he was really sexist. Like, the island, I remember him saying a lot of disparaging remarks around women. Now, you know, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And this season, I've actually really enjoyed him, you know, with that, like, note writing strategy of his, which I thought was just hilarious. But I almost wrote a piece basically about how the challenge had this huge Johnny Bananas problem where, you know, he inherently sucked the drama out of every season. Now, a lot of challenge fans love him, and that, you know, I've spoken to a number of them, you know, certainly some of the younger fans, they just think he's hilarious and awesome. And so, you know, not bringing him back, I think, would have really hurt the franchise. So I think the thing that seems to be happening is the best possible result, which is finally we're seeing this season that maybe there is this group of up-and-coming challenge competitors who are actually willing to vote him out, and they see the value of that. And Devin is the most obvious one, but the fact that Tony made that move, you know, and you know, you got Kyle there saying he wants Johnny out. So it really could, you know, even just making and succeeding at this move could fundamentally change the whole Bananas mythology.
What do you make of these people who are coming in from other shows to gatecrash a challenge? So you have the UK contingent, you have Natalie and Victor from Big Brother. So in that sense, we're not just getting a new generation of challenge competitors, you're getting a new generation of just people on the show who aren't steeped in that history, who maybe don't hold Bananas in the same kind of, like, high regard, and they have no reservations about challenging him and challenging his authority.
I think you're totally right, because typically the feeders are, like, real world people, right? And those people are already a part of this challenge community before they even step onto the show. So as soon as they're on the real world, they enter this group. You know, Bananas is their king before they even meet him, basically. And so I completely agree, like, casting people outside of that, and so much better that they're foreign, you know, that they probably haven't, you know, even seen Bananas necessarily before. And I think that's why, you know, one of their big challenges has been, how do we bring in new people? You know, the Are You the One people were just, for the most part, awful, right? They're just shrill and terrible. But some of them have been okay. But it really has been difficult for them to, like, find a great feeder for new people. So I love that they're looking internationally. What do you think, Dom? I mean, these are your people.
Well, we can get to my views on the Brits in due time, but it's so my understanding from what you're saying is that, like, the Devin and Tony crowd, they're relatively recent themselves, right? They're obviously compared to Bananas, everyone is recent, but they have less kind of less of a backstory than some of the, like, like Cara Marie and some of the other big names.
Yeah, exactly. Like Cara Marie has been there for, you know, for probably as long as Johnny has. And so, you know, for them, there's like, obviously they're going to, and Leroy, I believe his first season was Rivals, you know, so he's been, you know, that's 8-9 years ago. You know, Zach's been there forever. So for those guys, of course, they're not going to make a big move against Johnny because like, that's just who that he's a part of their life. And also there is that sort of bag of tricks fear with him. You know, there's this sense that he, you know, sometimes with on Survivor, for example, you have these competitors who people are afraid of making a move against because they seem to take on almost magical powers. And I think Colin, I think you and I maybe have been talking about this. And I think Johnny may be one of those guys.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely agree with that. Like Johnny Bananas, Steven, this may be lost on you, who I believe is someone who has correctly stayed away from Big Brother for your career. But Johnny Bananas, to me, is like the third member of Chilltown. Like, I really do think he is a tremendously capable and charismatic guy with an amazing ability to win whatever season they end up putting him out there on. I just, as for my own just kind of viewers, as my perspective as a viewer, I have found it a lot more exciting now in this current season where Bananas can go out. It is realistic that Bananas could go out halfway through the season, since for, it's felt like at least 7 or 8 years to this point, maybe he'll go out at like final five or something like that. But far more often than not, he's going to be in the finals with a really good chance to win. And to reference what you talked about, like the Zachs and the Leroys, and I think Tony fell into this camp for a while of guys who would show up, be amazingly impressed by Bananas, be, I would imagine, quite afraid of Bananas within the context of the game as far as his ability to remove them from it. And I love that we're getting people like Devin. And I think this started a couple seasons ago with others like Corey and Nelson, who were just not nearly as successful with it. I think this anti-Bananas running the show the entire time for seasons on end, I think this is a grassroots movement that's been developing for a while. And I'm thrilled that we're finally in here.
Well, and I think someone, maybe Jemmy was, I don't know, Jemmy was,
Jemmy is was silent.
Yeah, okay. She was speculating that it was because Bananas backstabbed Sarah, destroyed his challenge mojo.
Along the same lines as the this week's previously on, Steven, I actually thought that was kind of a spoiler too, that they kept talking up this curse of Bananas when like he just won 2 seasons ago or whatever. Like, obviously he cannot win this upcoming season if they're playing up this curse storyline.
Yeah. I mean, but it is, there may be something to it where it's also, you know, not only is there a curse, but there's also maybe people value his trust less, right? Like a lot of, as you guys were suggesting, his leverage is this idea that he can get you further in the game, and he can get you further not only in this season, but in subsequent seasons. And that, you know, tremendous backstab of Sarah maybe fractured how much faith people have in him.
Or it may also be that Tony has had at least one deep run recently where it came down to, okay, and now Bananas has closer allies than me, and he's just going to cut me now that we're down to the final six. And he's learned through experience that that is not the winning game plan. It's playing down to an end game of Bananas and his closest allies.
Yeah. And you know, I think having someone like Devin, who is as smart as Bananas is and can really who's as much of a pot stirrer as Bananas is too, and is willing to sort of wreak social chaos. You know, I mean, one of the things that makes Bananas such a fun, compelling screen character is the way that he just stirs things up. And that also makes him successful, right? Because he's like creating so much conflict among other people that he's not a part of. Obviously, Devin did it this week, and Devin did it, you know, to Bananas' detriment.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Dom.
I was just going to ask, do you think that having this these outsiders on the season helps to accelerate that process? Because not just them being willing to challenge Bananas in their own right, but also I think for people like Devin and Tony, who are just making a name for themselves within the franchise, and now already they have these challengers threatening to obsolete them already, they feel a need to up their game and prove that, well, actually it's, we do deserve to be here more than they do. And the best way to do that is to dethrone the king of the challenge and to directly take a shot at Johnny Bananas.
Right. I think Devin,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think Devin this week really almost is, in his effort to, you know, once he's the elimination candidate, going to the Troika saying, give me Johnny Bananas, I want Johnny Bananas. It reminded me a lot of Jordan a few seasons ago flipping right. all of the skull tiles saying, however this goes, I'm putting myself on the map one way or another where even if I lose this potentially, which I hope doesn't happen, but I am now making this iconic moment where I am going to be brought back for years because of this, just because of my willingness to do this, even if I lose.
And I mean, they must be aware of it, right? And production's obviously making them aware of it. I mean, just the idea that if you want to be brought back, you can't just be a passive player. You have to do, you have to make big moves. And I've actually heard from a challenge competitor that, like, I don't know if this is true. This player was pretty salty that they'll give you more stuff. Like more like food, more booze, more like phone calls home. If you fight more, if you have more romances, you know, I don't know how true any of that is, but,
the winning game plan for like a rookie is certainly go in there, hook up with as many people as you can, get in as many fights as you can so you can get brought back and be a recurring player because rookies virtually never win their first time. So the name of the game, your first time is just get brought back.
Yeah. So if that's the metric quickly, how do we think that some of these newbies are doing this season? So I know that Natalie is someone who surprised a lot of people who kind of wrote her off based on her Big Brother performance. They didn't think she was cut out for the challenge. But so far, at least, she's not getting in fights directly, although she was at the center of all the drama this episode. But she really seems to be making a name for herself. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if she became a regular fixture on the show going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like it is that first time out is just such an audition, you know, and it's funny to see how like who else do you guys like? Who else do you think is acing their audition? I mean, obviously Cam
is great. I think Kyle is fantastic. I think
he's
so fun. Yeah. I'm really rooting for Kyle, and I hope Dom likes the British people. I don't know why he wouldn't just answer your question and tell us what he thinks about the British people.
So cagey.
Dom, what do you think about the British people?
Insofar as I ever like any British people, I do like Kyle. He's not the type of character I usually root for, but given that I'm watching the challenge, I mean, what can I really expect, right? I mean, given what I signed myself up for, I'm rooting for Kyle 100% because he's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, when we the very first episode we ever did of the Dom and Colin podcast, I knew Dom was British, but I had never heard his voice before, and I was very relieved to hear his accent and be like, okay, I got one of the good British accents. I'm now very mad that he doesn't sound like Kyle. I wish he sounded like Kyle instead.
What can you tell us, just based on accent, what the difference is between you and Kyle, Dom?
How do you mean?
I don't know. Like, I know that like accent is so meaningful in England in a way that it's like we don't under. I mean, I guess there's like Southern accents here, but like, and you know, East Coast accents. But what is Kyle's accent redolent of to you?
Redolent. That's a word I wish we all use more often. it's I don't know. To me, it's just it doesn't really stand out at all. But it's. You can tell from watching Kyle that he's not restrained in any way, right? Like he has this very extroverted, gregarious personality, and that comes within the way he talks. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, if you know, for some American teen who's you know watching the challenge, and this is their first exposure to English people, who do you think is like the truest representation of the English people, you know, among these challenge competitors?
Probably Kaylee, actually. I don't know if that's meant to be flattering or not, but Kyle is not like atypical. Joss as well, like they're what you would expect from a British reality show if you're going to import people in to compete somewhere else.
Had you ever seen Kyle or any of these people before, Dom?
No, I haven't seen Kyle. I don't go to like Geordie Shore meet and greets or whatever.
No, I mean on TV.
You watch him, yeah.
Probably back in the day, but honestly, he completely slipped my mind. So as far as I was concerned coming in, all of these people were strangers to me.
Don't act like I think England is so small you just happen to like work with Kyle or whatever.
you've had much worse misconceptions about England in the past, so don't pull that line on me.
That's true. Stephen, actually, going back to something that you said earlier about just this episode being potentially a swinging point within the franchise of the challenge in general, and to transition back into Devin a little bit, and just the importance of it being Devin himself taking out Bananas and not just he leads the charge. The same way I think Bananas often is the one leading the charge and getting other people to do the dirty work. When Devin is in there actively saying, give me Johnny Bananas, I've got to take this guy down a peg, they do give him Johnny Bananas, and he wins. I'm with you that I feel like this episode, by the time people are hearing this, we're recording this on a Tuesday afternoon with a new episode set to air tonight, so I'm sure this will be slightly outdated. But I feel like this most recent episode that the three of us have seen to this point may be one of the most important in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I really, because in the past, you know, Johnny has gone out earlier, but it's typically Wes, and it, like, you know, Wes always seemed like, you know, like the Skeletor to Johnny's He-Man. You know, occasionally he would win like a small victory, but he was so clearly outmatched by He-Man that his like small victories just set up bigger losses. Yes. So the fact that this is like somebody else, you know, other than Skeletor, you know, I think is so crucial. And you're right, the fact that this is someone who, you know, when Jordan pulled that maneuver, I believe Jordan lost, right? Like Jordan basically you know, chose Johnny to go up against, and I'm pretty sure that Jordan lost that battle. And so for Devin to call his shot and to success and to like get other people in on it, you know, to get the Troika to agree to this and then to win, I do think is so such an important moment, because it does demystify Johnny and hopefully does set up other people as potential rivals to Johnny. Now, I'm a long-term Wes fan, and if a Wes-Devin alliance started to emerge in the future, I would love it. I know people hate Wes. In the way that
I personally love Wes, and Wes was eager to take credit for this move on Twitter, which I also loved.
Oh, really? That's funny. Like,
he was like, I taught Devin everything he knows.
That's really funny. Well, it's sort of true, right? They were a lot allies on the you know, in past seasons.
Yeah.
To go back to what you said, Colin, I can't judge whether this is an historically important challenge episode, but to me, at least, as a new viewer, it feels like a quintessential challenge episode. This is what the show was sold to me as. This is what you watch tune in for the show for at its best, right? It's this heated gameplay between all these massive egos, the really strong physical competitors, and then all of this emotional drama going on back at the house. This is, and when I decided to catch up on the season, it was knowing that this episode had just released and everyone was going crazy about it. And so I was trying not to hype myself up too much, because if I got there and was disappointed, then it would be hard to carry that momentum forward and keep watching the season. But it even exceeded my expectations. I wasn't prepared for what I saw there.
Well, I think the reason I find it so important, obviously not just Bananas going out this early, but the way where it the way that it happens, not just it being Devin, but Devin getting both Zach and Tony, who historically have all, I guess Zach did not vote. Zach did put Nelson in, but even in a Troika where both Zach and Tony are involved, to get Bananas still thrown in there, I think is tremendous. And Steven, to go back to like the way you framed it earlier, I think this episode really could be the one that stands out of like, this is where the worm definitively turned for Johnny Bananas. And this is where he entered like the decline of his challenge career. Like, it wouldn't shock me at this point, and I don't believe I would have even been comfortable saying this, you know, this time last week, but after seeing how that most recent episode play out, I wouldn't be blown away if Johnny Bananas never wins another challenge.
That seems like a lot, especially given that the win conditions of these shows are so variable. You know, sometimes it's like a team of eight people. Yeah. What dumb.
It's just good to know that Colin's penchant for hyperbole extends across all franchises and media.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. Would you say he's 100% to win another one? I'm just saying it's not 100%. He's going to win another one.
No.
Okay.
And it does seem like they're really in their casting are favoring people who are willing to make these big moves. You know, like you've got Kayla, who is willing to, you know, shake things up. And, you know, one of the problems in the show has always been that the younger and junior competitors have been deferential to the older competitors. And that seems to no longer be the case to a certain degree. And I agree, Dom, that this episode was so epic. Like, you had that drama at the house. And the drama was actually really resolved really compellingly, too, where the people who were acting like mean girls got called out as Mean Girls by the other competitors and then chastised by TJ, you know, and it really felt like sometimes those things just turn into shouting matches that go nowhere. And then, you know, it seemed like we were going to have this tease with Johnny Bananas where will they or won't they? They don't again, you know, but this time they did and he was eliminated. And then you have this sublime moment of Devin, you know, transcending his physical bonds as the screen behind him goes multicolored. It was just such a great episode.
Yeah, it's almost like a genius episode where they keep trying to set you up to think it's going one way and then all your expectations are dashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun with that. And I also, like, I spent this whole time truly thinking, just because I felt like I had seen this episode so many times before of like, oh, things are finally going to get turned on Johnny Bananas, and then they just don't at the end of the episode. And I also thought, by the time the elimination got started, oh, well, if Bananas was going to lose, they would drag this out and make it that be the beginning of the next episode. They wouldn't end the episode with Bananas losing. But I think because of the way that they were able to set this up and with that fantastic kind of motivational slash kind of gloating montage of Devin at the end, this I don't feel like I'm being hyperbolic in saying this could be one of the most important challenge episodes ever. And for me, at least, this might have been like one of my favorite episodes of reality TV overall that I've seen in years potentially at this point. And again, maybe that's just classic Colin Stone hyperbole, but certainly nothing from Game Changers or HHH is standing out to this level.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's definitely one of my I don't watch a ton of reality TV, but it's definitely one of the favorite my favorite episodes that I've seen in recent time.
So where are you on Devin going forward in the game? Do you feel like Devin is in there with a good chance of winning now that he has shown himself to be capable of taking down Bananas, or are people going to be worried about Devin wanting to come for them next and he may be painting a target on himself?
Yeah, I do think that, like, you know, people seem confident that in, you know, the challenge, what makes the challenge so different from a show like Survivor is just how so much of it comes down to physical ability. And the people who are the strongest are going to be the ones who dominate the game because they win the challenges, they're put in positions of power, they can't be eliminated, and ultimately they beast out until the end. And it sure seems, at least from the assessment that you hear from people like Kyle, that Devin does not have the physical ability yet to win the game. And so I'm suspicious that he won't be able to control things moving forward. But, you know, he talked a lot about how much he trained for this season. And if he keeps, you know, moving forward like this, he could be a total beast the next time out.
Yeah. Who is looking good for you, I guess, in that capacity for who you do think has a good chance of winning?
God, what do you guys think?
I think Devin has looked really good to me, and we did hear, as you said, about him getting in better shape, and I would agree that he still doesn't seem like the type who would be able to hang with, like, a Bananas or, like, Derek or, like, Darrell in, like, a really intense final, but not all the finals are that intense these days, and to factor in the edit a little bit, I really feel like both Devin and Tony are looking a lot better than pretty much anyone else as far as how the editing, I think, is trying to make them come across to the viewers. What do you think about that, Tom?
Yeah, so, again, I'm coming to this from the perspective of a clean slate, basically. I'm not comparing this to their performances in past seasons. I don't have any biases or prejudice on who I want to win, who I think is going to win. So when I see Devin suddenly, as I see it, come out of nowhere to overthrow Bananas in what I think will end up being the defining moment of the season, to me, that instantly cements him as, okay, he is now the where the story is going. He's now the one to watch. And maybe that's my inner casual coming through, but I haven't seen enough of the show yet to look at it in a more informed or educated way.
Right. And the reason I say I'm totally with that, and that's why I think Devin is getting such a strong edit, is because I think anyone who is not you know, following the show, tracking it really closely, would be coming away from this episode just loving Devin. And similarly, I feel like Tony, based on what we've seen from him in previous seasons, which Dom is not going to register much with you, but Steven, we know Tony to have a bit of an impulse control issue, to say the least, and it really does seem like they've had no reluctance to lean into that in pretty much any other season he's ever been on, whereas in this season, he really does seem to be pretty much glowing, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Tony's edit is so dramatically different from what we've seen of him in the past. I mean, also some of it presumably is his behavior. You know, I think the last time out was right when he got that he almost broke up with his girlfriend and the mother of his children because he kissed – Camilla, but it does sure seem that his edit is really positive, and I agree, Devin's edit as well. What about the women? I mean, I want to say Cam is getting this super positive edit, but I just can't believe that a new player is gonna go win all the way through.
Yeah, Cam is definitely a standout character, although Winter has not been really on my radar for her. Actually, out of the women's side of the house, I think Nicole is the one looking the best. I think we would hear more from Kara if she won.
I agree. I think you'd have Kara's been like surprisingly small presence this season. I agree. Nicole was kind of left out of the Mean Girl stuff. You know, Kayla is always in the mix there, but similarly, she was really a part of that Mean Girl thing last week. So
how do you all feel about Natalie? I know I keep bringing her up, but to me, just the fact that she's still there is going to be surprising to a lot of people. And It would not surprise me with the treatment she's got so far if she converted that into at least a deep run, if not a win.
Yeah, they really focused a lot on her her situation in the game, her strategic positioning, her relationship with Johnny, and what it meant. It's believable. I could see that.
Well, actually, this kind of ties into one thing that stood out to me early on in the season that I wasn't anticipating. Certainly when we drafted this season, I found out that there's only going to be one winner. We're not going to have a male winner and a female winner, as is typically the case. And I've also thought the vast majority of these challenges, if not literally every single one of them, were pretty strongly biased towards men doing well compared to women doing well. And I feel like we've seen that in the Troikas. It's pretty rare almost at this point for a woman to even make it into the Troika. And that blows my mind.
Yeah, that it wouldn't, that the challenges themselves wouldn't be
more
balanced.
Right, but they structure it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, hashtag time's up, the challenge. So, actually, one interesting thing, to go back to Bananas a little bit and just how his future may be looking going forward. I got an interesting stat from a great friend of the Challenge podcast here, Brian Scally, that Bananas has actually lost 5 of his last 6 eliminations now, and the one win was he and Sarah as a pair up against Dario and Nani's cousin Nicole, so not the stiffest competition there. It really does feel like if Bananas is losing his political clout within the house, the eliminations are not going to be the way he ends up staying in the game. So, like, he's great in the daily, like, main matches or whatever they're called. He's very good at those, but eliminations have never been a strong point for him, and it really does seem like he's going to have a whole different ball game in front of him now, as far as making it through to the end without touching an elimination.
Yeah. I mean, some of it has just been his like salt, you know, maybe where people are so scared of putting him into the elimination just because of how bitter he'd be. I mean, when Jordan and Sarah threw him in, like, he acted like it was this great personal betrayal when it was just the most obvious game move. And obviously that led to them being rivals in a way that Bananas could never forget, the fact that, you know, Jordan and Sarah wanted themselves to win the game and not him. And so I do imagine that, you know, his skill has come out of politicking and staying out of the elimination. And I guess, yeah, he lost against Derek, in the rolling, what was that, like the barrel rolling competition? So
yeah, and now, and in his defense, this light board, this light bright competition against Devin, I guess, not the most standard kind of challenge elimination. I think that one probably more of a coin flip than, but I think Bananas, generally speaking, would still have an edge against a lot of the people he'd find himself in random eliminations against. It's just, it's never good to be going to the elimination, and it really does seem like his greatest strength is now potentially going to become a huge vulnerability in the form of that political game for him going forward. And actually, Steven, I'm wondering, like, when he's saying to Devin, hey, listen, kid, I'm not going anywhere for a long time. If you come after me, you're going to, even if you get me out this time, you're going to have hell to pay for years to come. What do you think about just the prospect of Bananas' retirement eventually, and what's going to bring that about? Is it going to be he feels like he can no longer go out there and be one of the front runners to win, or is it going to be I'm going to stay here until MTV essentially tells me it's time to go?
Yeah, I think probably the latter. I mean, it seems like he'll, you know, eventually become like a CT figure, right? To sort of this elder statesman, you know, respected, although, you know, more strategic than CT is. You know, who will probably be with the challenge forever. He's such an iconic figure, and it's not like he's got anything else going on. That, you know, I can't imagine that. I mean, this is his job, right? He probably trains full time for this, and then, you know, twice a year goes out and wins himself $15,000 or $100,000.
Well, I've heard actually his. Again, this is not confirmed, but I've heard his stipend is $50,000 for showing up, and it doubles if he makes it halfway.
Really?
That's just what I've heard. I certainly am not the one writing the check.
I can't imagine, like, I guess he's important to the franchise, although maybe that's why they're aggressively casting people to replace him.
Yeah. Dom, are you someone who is going to stick with the challenge as far as you can tell? And if so, are you going to be hoping to see Bananas do well next time?
I'll definitely stick with it. I guess it depends on how the season ends, but it's looking good on that front so far. I want to see Bananas there, but I think I'll be rooting for him to get taken down in the same way again. If he ends up just reclaiming his former dominance, then I don't think that's going to be as exciting. Although, given that this was my introduction to it, maybe that would be unexpected. Maybe seeing him do well actually would be an interesting novelty at some point.
That's actually a good point. Like, if Bananas can come back from this, and I don't think there's any, you know, possibility that he's going to show up a truly changed man next time around. But right. I do think Bananas is certainly a smart enough guy to take this experience and try to reflect on what went wrong and adjust the things that potentially got in his way this time. So I do anticipate Bananas being back and at least in there in contention in seasons going forward. But again, it wouldn't floor me if he never won another challenge. I don't think that's crazy that he would never win another one.
You did say that you would, you know, you'd bet against it.
I said I would take the. I think I might have. I don't know what I said. I don't listen to myself. Yeah.
I believe you said it was an absolute certainty, and there's no way anything else could ever possibly happen.
Yeah, Stephen. Actually, what have you been thinking about? Just you know, sexism aside, the format for this season and the way that that's played into things with the Troika forming and having so much power.
It's interesting. I mean, because it is typically been that the women will be more in control of female eliminations, right? Or it'll be team based. The Troika's a lot. I mean, they have a lot of power. It's fun to have different stages of strategy kind of baked into the structure of the show. But what do you guys think?
I agree that the Troika has a lot of power and is potentially overpowered. But I do like that they are at least making them say, here are our top three, and we're only going to pick one of them, but at least these two were the two people that we feel the least connected to. I do like that. It's to go back to Big Brother again, it's almost like having them put up three nominees where you're at least making the person in power take some responsibility and declare their intentions toward at least one or two people that are still going to be there and potentially mad at them the following week.
Can I ask, what's the deal with the Inquisition this season? Because my understanding is that's a fairly recent addition.
That's new. They haven't had it before.
Is there some problem that it was there before that it's fixing? Because it seems to me that it just adds this extra layer of confusion where it's, okay, we'll put up these people, but in reality, we all know actually what's going to happen. And it's just hiding that from the audience in some way.
And my guess is part of it is to, I mean, you know, Colin, obviously I'm curious to hear what you think. Part of it is to just like add more strategy into the show. You know, it's like something, maybe they felt like, you know, typically the way it had been, right? Someone would win, that you'd see like a few conversations around the house. Someone would run to that person. People would go to that person and like make their case. And now maybe they just wanted to formalize that a little bit. So to make sure that everyone was making their case, to make sure that there was this sense of strategic deliberation, you know, baked into the elimination. I mean, I kind of agree that sometimes it just seems like a waste of time and it seems a little bit redundant. I'm curious what Colin thinks.
Yeah, well, I like the visual of having the three people in charge share a meal with the three people they're putting up for elimination and talk through it. But I do think it is, like you were saying, Steven, probably more of a functionality design. Like, that's the intent rather than any kind of like thinking it's going to stir the game up or whatever, because I think generally they do know, or at least over the course of the dinner can get a pretty good idea of how the Troika is leaning. But when you're the producers, and it would be great to just have this very quick conversation that we could cut down and put all the bullet points of why each person is being considered as the elimination candidate
right
over the course of one scene, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, just really make that the show logic explicit.
Right. I remember they did it was the season, whichever season it was, where Bananas took the money from Sarah, Rivals, whatever. They would have the winning team would get a dinner where they would like discuss things. And I think the dinner where the power person or power team discusses was the kind of predecessor to this Inquisition.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, what more do we even want to be getting to for notable things from this episode or just from the season so far, Stephen?
I mean, I think just the last couple seasons, it really seems like they've stepped it into overdrive. You know, many more twists, many more, you know, the show's been, I feel like the last, like, you know, Vendetta's, Dirty 30 have been really, really fun seasons of the show. What do you think of the grenades? You know,
ooh,
my
yes.
issue. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm a fan just of the grenades in general. I think it's fun, although it's I don't like how underpowered some of the selections have been. Sorry for cutting you off, but go ahead. I do love.
No, I mean, that's basically what I was going to say is I feel like the idea is great. The selections of themselves have been a little bit underpowered, and I wish they could be used against the Troika. I think like giving the Troika immunity, and maybe it makes the Troika make bolder decisions, but then you don't, you know, then it's like, who cares what happens with that grenade? You know, it's going to be used in some like trivial, non-essential way.
Right. It to kind of to go back to the Troika being the Big Brother head of household thing. This would be like in Big Brother if the outgoing HOH just had immunity for the following week. You're right. That is, I think, one of the most overpowered parts of it is the Troika is picking the elimination candidates, and then whoever survives cannot target the people who just picked them for elimination. That's probably an error in game design as far as I would be concerned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Dom, what do you think?
About what?
Just about the structure of the season and the game design overall.
So some of these additions to this season, as I said, have kind of confused me a bit, but the basic structure I think is quite interesting, and I haven't like sat down with pen and paper and figured out like what the possible exploits are or anything like that, but I think it does the basic job, which is to bring out the drama that the contestants naturally want to get into, and the game itself is meant to be the venue for that. And I guess some people are tuning in to see like the physical competition or whatever, but you tune in for that, but also the drama. You tune in to see Bananas and everyone else go at it, and if the format of the show enables that to happen in a fairly seamless way, and this seems like it does, then it seems like it's doing its job.
I'm surprised we haven't seen anyone trying to like game the Troika nominations and like a couple people get in the Troika and tell their close friends like, okay, we're just going to put you guys in. We're not going to pick you for elimination, but we don't want to tip our hands to the other people, and this will disguise our alliance. I could see that being like a next level, how to game the Troika kind of thing. Like you put in your one target, and then so you don't piss anyone else off that you are genuinely kind of up in the air about, you can talk to your like closer allies and say, look, we're just going to put you in, but it's totally strategic. You're never going to go into actually face an elimination.
Yeah, totally. I mean, maybe there was a little bit of it when like Johnny put Tony in, but you know, not to the extent that there could be. But that's the problem with it. That's like the great thing and the terrible thing about the challenge generally, which is that, you know, people in, they're not the most strategic people, you know, and that's some of the fun, is that there are a bunch of goofballs.
Oh, that's the thing. It's like, as I've said, I'm a huge challenge casual. I don't invest a lot of my time or my emotion in the challenge. Like, I don't think I've ever been heartbroken over any result that came in on the challenge the same way I have over certain people winning or losing on Survivor. For instance, the Survivor Token Sheens finale, devastated. But I think that makes it more fun. Like I don't think
a big Aaron Lobdell fan.
No, I don't think I would enjoy this show as much if I took it so seriously.
Right, exactly. I mean, and also the like for me a lot, I just love the challenges. I mean, the challenges are insane, and it's great to see these like super fit people compete at them. And you know, it's not strategy isn't necessarily the show's strength.
Steven, we have Big Brother players coming into the challenge. Is there anyone from Survivor you think you would want to see on the challenge?
Oh God, I heard a rumor that like Taylor and Figgy were being considered for challenge X's, which would be kind of fun, but it would have to be someone like those guys, right? Like really young, really fit kids. What about you? I'm trying to think of anyone offhand who would meld well into that universe.
Yeah, I've also heard the rumors about Taylor and Figgy, and I thought that story checked out very much, that if they were going to dip into the Survivor pool, that would be about where they would go. I would love to see like Natalie Anderson on the challenge or whatever. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But yeah, someone like that would be great. I mean, you know, I feel like this season probably has a few people you could see on the challenge. Yeah. I can't think of any offhand.
Dom, but, anyone, you know. Anyone from Survivor you're dying to see on the challenge? We could get Jacob Derwin out there on the challenge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say there's a part of me that would enjoy the idea of like Cole or Devin just being smacked around by bananas in a giant mud pit or something like that. I could sign up for that, but I don't know. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of these crossovers already. Is there some, because this is on MTV versus CBS, I don't know what arrangement the networks have to allow that to happen or if they even need to coordinate anything.
Well, MTV may need to ask CBS's permission, and it's possible that, like, you know, Survivor has really been aggressive about protecting its brand integrity, you know, and to be fair, they have had, you know, they have had some Big Brother contestants and obviously Amazing Race contestants on the show. But it's possible that they don't want it to seem like, you know, they're really big into this idea that once contestants have been on Survivor, like, then they go, you know, back off into the world until they're, like, elected to return to Survivor again. You know, they don't, like, see themselves as, like, minting fame balls, you know. So I guess that's a mixed metaphor, like crafting fame balls. So I think that's probably part of it, but maybe Survivor's resistance to it.
Fame balls could be government issued. You don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Or you do know. I'm sorry.
Joe. What about like Joe Anglin? It would be like a good challenge competitor.
Yeah.
Well, what about some of these super bulky guys who never actually do well in challenges on Survivor because they're too varied, but might be better in that kind of setting? So like James Clement, for instance, or I'm sure there are much more recent examples to come to mind, but his idol flashbacks are still going through my head from last Wednesday.
Oh, totally. I mean, being super fit, but it's also, again, like it is not just gym muscles. A lot of it is that sort of, you know, are you good at obstacle courses, you know, the like challenges like Survivor challenges are a very distinctive type of activity. And granted, there's a lot of variability, but a lot of it is endurance. A lot of it is, you know, nimbleness, certainly strength is part of it. And it does seem like, you know, doing CrossFit would serve you well as opposed to just being great at the gym.
Yeah, I hate to put this idea even out there into the universe because I don't want this to happen, but I feel like Caleb Reynolds would be a good call the challenge might make.
Yeah, Caleb would be great at the challenge, but, you know, not necessarily like a great strategic addition to it. That's why I feel like Joe, you know, he's got a little bit of strategy chops to like stand out in the challenge.
Why don't we have any like surfer dudes on the challenge?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Seems like that's some oversight there. You phone up MTV. Give them that one for free. Steven, thank you so much for coming on. I'm out of stuff unless anyone else has anything else that they wanted to bring up for the challenge podcast.
No, this was great.
Yeah, hey, thank you so much. And sorry for talking over you so much and for the connection.
No, I mean, sorry I'm talking over you.
You get used to it. Don't worry.
All right. Of course, he is on Twitter at Steven Fishback. Steven, what else would you like to plug at this time?
Nothing. It's, you know, just plug the Dom and Colin podcast. If you like this podcast, keep listening to others of their fascinating podcasts.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Dom, anything else from you?
No, I'm good.
All right. He is at DomHRV on Twitter. I'm at Colin Stone. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm sure we'll be back very soon. Take care, everybody.